Have we all enjoyed spring break? How many of us enjoyed spring break? Well, for some, they're still on break, and they'll be coming back today. We got to pray for safe travels. And with that, we have a lot of people that are missing because they're on spring break. And if we could, you know, matter of fact, my wife and my daughter, they took a girls trip to Destin to meet her sister and nephew and niece to have a great time on the beach, and they were able to do some of that. I know it was kind of chilly, but you know, we had a men's time at the Battle Home. Grandpa, me, and Sean, we survived. Thank God for Marie Callender. She was my wife this week. And we survived, and it was great. But, you know, with that, you know, sometimes we can, if you can do me this favor. If you're sitting alone, get next to somebody. All right? Yeah, right here. If you're sitting alone, I see the Cottons are way over there in left field. We got to get them. Y'all come over here. Come on and get next to somebody. We're the body of Christ. We're not fractured. Right? Let's get next to somebody. Maybe it's a person. Yeah, I don't want to see George up there by him, even though he's on the front row. That's great, right, George? Get next to somebody. Okay, we are the body. Now, what I want you to do is stand on up and give hugs to somebody next to you. Come on, Manny. Come on, man. I see you over there. There you go, man. I see you over there. That was easy. That was your wife. That was easy. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, do you feel a little better? I mean, you know, I'm looking at, so you can sit down. I'm looking at some of our faces. And we're worshiping, we're all kind of by ourselves, or we're next to people, and we're kind of like, you know, I just think we need to get in with each other and become a part of one another, right? Lord knows we have enough to deal with in the world, and we come here, I want to get all the body I can get. I want to get all the hugs, I want to get all the encouragement, I want to get the high fives, I want to get it all, because we leave this place, and guess what? We're like a gazelle, and we're left alone, and we need each other. And so I pray that every time we come together, whether it be a Wednesday night, a Sunday, over at the house, Starbucks coffee, that we engage in the body, we need each other. And I need people, you need people, and we need to be in touch with one another. And so I pray that we could always live out the blessings of the body. You know, we've been, if you're visiting, we have been, we're in this series entitled Follow Me. And we, on purpose, wanted to make the me bigger than follow. Follow me. Because we're focused on not the what's of following Jesus, not the when of following Jesus, not even the why of following Jesus or the where of following Jesus, but the who of following Jesus. Who are we following? It's not a church. It's not a doctrine. It's the Son of God. It's the Messiah. It's Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about Jesus, the who, being the light of the world, right? Remember that? We talked about Jesus being the divine illumination of this world. And without him, we can't see because of the darkness. And the darkness penetrates, or the light penetrates the darkness. You and I, we need that penetration. We need that light. We're surrounded by darkness. Man, it's such a refreshing view and sight of having that divine light light up the darkness for us so that we can have clarity and we can know where to go, who to turn to, what to do, and why. See, when you follow the who, the whens and the whats and the whys and the wheres all kind of come into place. Amen. Who are we following? Jesus. We ask the question, is he the light of your world? We asked that last week. We asked it again on Wednesday night. Is Jesus, and now we can say, oh, he's the light of the world. Amen. Is he the light of your world? Is he illuminating the darkness in my life? Is he clearing the path so that we can walk confidently with joy and security and peace in this crazy world? Is he the light of your life? Today, we'll focus on the who. Jesus being the advocate. He says, follow me, I am the advocate. I am the advocate. Like no other. I am the advocate. Follow me. I am the advocate. What is an advocate? Who could share? When you think about advocating, being an advocate, what do you think about? Yes.
I know for me, an advocate is
okay. Someone that speaks up. Doesn't it feel good when somebody speaks up for you? You know, we're saying an advocate is someone who speaks up. Yeah. First duty of loyalty is your best interest. Sounds like a lawyer speaking, doesn't it? Wow, that's powerful. Say that again. The first duty of their loyalty is my best interest, or your best interest. That's powerful. An advocate. What else? Who else? Yeah. Yes, great example. Great example. Advocate. What comes about? Yeah. Stands in for you. Yeah. Do you realize when we talk about the who and we talk about Jesus being Lord of the Lords and the light of the world, he is the greatest advocate you will ever know. Being an advocate. Rescuer, speaking up in favor of, pleads on behalf of another. Have you ever had anybody advocate for you? Who? Other than Jesus. I know that's the subject today. Any person ever advocate for you? Yeah. Your grandma? Grandfather. How did he do that? Uh-oh. Wow. Ooh. How old were you? How did it make you feel? Yeah, yeah. You're still alive, so he didn't get to you. He did his job. Who else? Anybody ever advocate for you? Yeah, Pat. Hmm. Wow. Wow. And she's a doctor today. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, without advocacy, you can't advance. We need each other, right? Yeah. Yes.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Well. It's okay, he had a heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A principal stood up for you. That's powerful. Yeah, they didn't stand up for me too much, but I didn't give them an opportunity. I was bad in grade school. Who had an advocate that you could want to share about? Anybody advocate for you? You can, yeah. Your daughter, okay. Leon had some physical issues, and he was talking to a doctor. If you didn't hear him, he was talking to a doctor, and his daughter, who is a nurse, was listening in just to make sure that everything was okay with Dad. She was advocating for him, you know. I tell you guys this story. I was about in the 7th or 8th grade, and I went to Florida High, so we had kindergarten through 12th grade. And after school, we didn't have a bus, so our parents would pick us up. And this particular day, I stayed late after school. And typically when the kids stayed late after school, good things didn't happen. I had my brand new white Nike shoes on, and they were brand new and they were white. And back in the day, if somebody stepped on your white shoes, you fought. That's just how it was. Lo and behold, guess who stepped on my white Nike shoes? The captain of the football team, the quarterback of the football team. Now, he's a senior, and he stepped on my shoe. Now, common sense and discernment would say, just walk on, AB. This guy's the captain of the football team. He's a quarterback. But no, not me. I said, hey, you stepped on my shoe. And he said, I'll step on it again. I said, you better not. And you know how you say things, you go, why are you saying that? I said, you better, what am I doing? Not, you know. And he said, oh, yeah. And he pushed me. I mean, and my chest caved around his hand. And I went back into the bushes. And I looked up, and I didn't know what I was going to do. Common sense would say, stay in those bushes. But I was getting up, and I saw this brown, tall blur come before me. Her name was LaTanya Springer. And she was in the 11th grade. And Tanya, if you're listening, thank you so much. If you're here, I want to give you a hug. And she said, oh, no, you don't mess with the brother. And she went wailing on him. And the assistant principal and some other guy had to pull her off. And as they were pulling her off, she goes, you okay? She said, you okay, baby? I said, yes, ma'am. And from that day on, I always thanked LaTanya Springer. I gave her a hug every time I saw her because she was my advocate. She defended me when I couldn't defend myself. Never forget that day. You know, many times we're not that fortunate to have somebody advocate for us. Maybe even you this morning, you've never really had somebody really advocate for you, or you felt like or feel like no one's really advocated for you. And those times can be tough. When you feel like you're alone and nobody's pulling for you, matter of fact, the cards are set up against you. Talking to a friend of mine, she's a single mom. Her son is about 19. Last year, he was charged with 2 felonies. Never been in trouble in his life. She was heartbroken. Didn't have enough money to hire an attorney, so she had a public defender. And she would call and call and call, no answer. I would ask, what's going on with the case? I don't know. I called and called and called and no answer. And I thought about being a mom. Your little boy is in jail. You don't really know the court date. You're kind of iffy about that. And no one's advocating for him. She feels. Very sad moment. I pray for her and him all the time, giving her some resources to comfort her and help her. But it's sad when you're alone and you can feel like you have no one who advocates for you. She told me that all he says is, "Mom, I want to come home. I want to come home. That's all I want to do is come home." Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Jesus, the advocate. He's the greatest advocate we'll ever know. First John 1, let's begin reading in verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." We talked about that last week. "If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." John is reminding them that we need to be honest about who we are, confess our sins, come into the light. Like we talked about last week, transparency is key. If we don't believe that we've sinned, we make him out to be a liar. In other words, be honest with who you are. Be transparent. Confess your sins. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. But he says, but if anybody does sin, all of us, right? If anybody does sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. Now, what qualifies Jesus to be this advocate? Look in chapter 2 here, it says it in verse 1. "But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." What qualifies Jesus to be our advocate is that he is righteous. He's in right standing with God. He can stand in the presence of God. That's why he can be an advocate. He could stand in the presence of God. Righteousness means to stand in the right standing before God. To be able to stand in the presence of God confidently, securely, without pause, doubt, or concern. That's what it means to stand in the presence of God. You know, Jesus is the only one that can do this. He's the only one that can stand in the presence of God. Do you realize that? That we can't, I can't, you can't because of our sin. Only he can stand in the presence of God. So as an advocate, how does Jesus help us in our relationship with God? He restores us to our lost sense of righteousness. He brings back our righteous opportunity to stand before God. Jesus, as our advocate, our lawyer, stands before the judge. And he makes his closing arguments, as John alluded to earlier. And what he says, my client is guilty as charged. Many of us think Jesus says we're innocent. No, he says we're guilty. Because we are. He's not going to lie. He's not deceived. He says, my client is guilty. What lawyer does that? My client is guilty. I want to take his punishment. I want to take his punishment. I love that kind of advocate. Could you imagine a lawyer doing that? That's what Jesus does for us. You know, and we're accused before our God day and night, Revelation 12, 10 says. We need our righteousness restored hourly, every second of the day. Because we can get consumed with our guilt. We can feel like we're not worthy. And Jesus says, no, you are. I've taken on your punishment. Our advocate stands, Ivory Powell said, our advocate stands in the court of heaven, and he doesn't plead our innocence, but shows the wounds in his hands. That's what Jesus does for you and for me. I say that's good news, amen? Amen. On Thursday, this past week, we went to Gadsden County Jail. Second Chance at Heilemann. As I told you before, I work with inmates and really working on reentry. And one of the stories at Heilemann caught the eye of the clergy at Gadsden County Jail. And he told Jan, who's the director, he said, Jan, I really want to meet this guy who I read about in the paper. And I want him to come and speak to my inmates to give them hope and give them courage on reentry. And Jan said, well, he doesn't really speak that much, but I'll tell you what, we'll come if we bring our team. And he said, bring whoever you want. I need you to come and bring hope to the guys. So myself, she asked me to come, and two other young men that are out of the work release and they're working for the city. We all got, and a person who's director of a fleet. We got in the car and we drove to the Gadsden County Jail. And we come on in, put our identification and, you know, go through the process. And the door is slammed behind us. And one of the guys with me, Tim, he says, oof. I remember that sound. He got out about 10 months ago. He says, I remember that sound. And so there are about 35 inmates there with their orange jumpsuits on. And it was a cold room, concrete. And here we come walking in. And Jan tells them about this Second Chance program and how to really behave and how to act when you're on a job and how to assert yourself and not be afraid, et cetera, et cetera. And I came up and talked about how we're really a family. It takes resources. You can't do it by yourself. You need to have somebody that advocates for you, somebody who will fight for you, somebody who will do it unconditionally. And there are people out there that want to help, giving them hope. And then the two guys, or three, shared about their journeys, about how they re-entered society and how they were told no time and time and time again, and preparing them for when they get out, because they will be told no. But he said, Tim said, you have to have a plan A, B, C, D, and E, but get prepared. And I believe the time was so beneficial, even if one of the 35, if it changes their reentry, it was well worth it. Because all of us were volunteers. We're not paid to do this. And we're giving to them to help them, to advocate for them, to give them resources. One young man stood up. He said, I got 7 years. 7 years left in my sentence. What would you tell me? And Tim looked him dead in the eye and said, listen, you make every moment of that 7 years worth it. Get your GED, get all that you can, And he shared with them how he got certifications in jail. I mean, he had 4 years. He said, I used every day of those 4 years to prepare myself for reentry. And I thought to myself, as this young man was sharing that he had 7 years, I said, what would it be like if, and I couldn't do this legally, but if I just said, you know what, hey man, I want your sentence. I'll take your place. You take off your suit, I'll give you my clothes, you walk out of here, and I'll take your 7 years for you, because I know you got two daughters that you want to see. I'll sit in your cell for you for 7 years, free of charge. You think you would be excited? You think they would let me do it? No. But you know, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He said, you got a sentence. You're guilty. Your immorality, your gossip, your lying, your deceit, your cursing, you name it. Look at the mirror. You're guilty. And he says, I'm taking your place. If we really embrace that reality, what kind of joy would fill our souls? But see, we need another advocate outside of Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to take your place. I'm going to send you one too. Because when I go to heaven, you're going to need an advocate here on earth to help you deal with life. You know what that advocate's called? Who that advocate's called? The Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Are you with me? Boy, we have an advocate. We have it made, don't we? It is an awesome reality and an awesome life to be a disciple of Jesus, to have an advocate like Jesus. And now on top of that, to have the Holy Spirit. I'm praising him. I'm praising him. I hope you're praising him. I hope you're thankful. And I hope you're not used to the advocates. Sometimes we've been out of jail too long. Sometimes we've been out of jail too long. We don't understand what it means to be locked up and in prison. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally. John chapter 14. Starting in verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. This advocate, this Holy Spirit, he does something amazing. And Jesus sent him to do it. What does he do? He says, will teach us all things. You know, the things that you don't know, the Spirit will teach. The things that you may be confused about, if you're open to him and his counsel, he will let you know. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you comfort. If you want to know how to resolve a relationship, the Spirit will teach you. If you want to know how to deal with bitterness in your life, the Spirit will teach you. If you want to know how to deal with addictions in your life, the Spirit will teach you. If you're open to learning, the Spirit will teach you. He will advocate for you, and he will teach you. The Spirit also will remind you. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything. Now, that's a great advocate. Will teach you all things, remind you of everything. Can we get an amen on that? Amen. Now, the question is, do you want to be reminded? Sometimes I want to stay ignorant. Don't tell me. I know what it says. We're quenching him. Oh, no, no. Let me put my spin to it. No. What is the Spirit will only relay God's will. He'll relay God's will. He will teach us God's will. He will remind us of God's will for our lives. Can we say, what an advocate? What an advocate. What else does he do? Look in John 15. In verse 26, John 15, verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. What else does he do? He testifies about Jesus. He gives evidence to who he is. He gives a good report to who he is. If you want some good news in your life, listen to the advocate. He will testify about Jesus. Powerful. What else does he do? Look in chapter 16 and verse 7. 16 verse 7. I hope you realize how blessed we are this morning. And if you don't feel like you have an advocate, I want you to learn how to get him. You got to learn how to get him. This world is too hard to be by yourself. It's too hard to venture out by yourself. And even if you're a Christian and you've pulled back and you feel yourself independent and in one seat, alone, I pray that this will encourage you to join back with Jesus. Allow him to advocate for you. Allow the Spirit to advocate for you. And it's amazing how it will change your relationships. It's amazing how that will happen. In chapter 16, verse 7. I'll get there in a minute. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away, Jesus says. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. What else? What does he say the Spirit will do? What else? How will the Spirit advocate? Anybody catch that from that passage? Anybody catch it? What's that? Proving. Okay. And so the word is prove, right? Now, in some translations, it's convict. Convict. He will convict the world of sin. Will speak, pricks away at our consciousness, showing us our need for Jesus. You ever had that happen? Where you're going, I want to do wrong, but something is telling me to do right. And you're going, what is that voice? What's happening? It's the Holy Spirit pricking at you, convicting you of going in the wrong direction. So he advocates. He teaches. He reminds. He testifies. And he convicts. You see, when there's disagreement or drama in our families, in our relationships, that's when you need an advocate. Someone who will fight for you. Not necessarily fight to prove that you're right. You know how we are. But fights for the relationship, the unity, the peace, the shalom in our lives. When you're misunderstood, how many of us this week were misunderstood? You know? Oh, but I tried. That wasn't my purpose. Well, you were misunderstood. You were mistreated. And Jesus says, I'll be the advocate for you. Let the Holy Spirit be the advocate. If you have a child that's, you know, kind of feel like the prodigal son's father. And children will do it. We did. Right? And maybe stray away. And you get that guilty feeling like, boy, I haven't been a great parent. And I'm sure our parents felt the same way about us. That's when you need an advocate. Someone to fight for you. If you feel lonely, like you're an outcast, no one really feels like you matter, this is when you need to call on the advocate. And the advocate will remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're guilty about your past sins and the consequences of those sins, and you may see it every day, the advocate says, I got it. I took the punishment. My blood has cleansed you. Walk free. Walk free. If you're a good person, guess what? You're not good enough. You need an advocate. I need an advocate. The question is, will we be open to receiving that guidance in that direction? If you're new and you don't understand, you're new to Christianity, you don't understand all of it, I pray that you will find an advocate for you in this room and say, you know what, I need to be taught more about this because I feel all alone. I never knew this about Jesus. I never knew this about the Holy Spirit. Get to know the who of who you're following. If you're a seasoned veteran Christian, you know, you got all kind of scars, and amen for that. We all got scars. The older we get, the more scars we have, right? I pray that you will have the heart that you had as a young Christian to know that he's still fighting for you. Sometimes we can get lost in our self-pity, and we go, oh, I'm fighting for everybody else. Nobody's fighting for me. I feel it. But God says, oh, yeah, I'm fighting for you. I've always been fighting for you. I'm taking your place every day. And we need to say thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful that I have an advocate, and his name is Jesus. This is who I follow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for revealing even more clearly the who that we're following. Father, Jesus is and was that light that the world did not understand. Father, thank you for giving us clarity, helping us to drop our pride and allow ourselves to be helped, to be fought over and fought for. Father, you dangerously love us. You love us deeply. Father, I pray that we will receive that love, accept that love. And Father, I pray for those who may not know your love, could discover it today. We thank you for reaching out to us. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. Father, we want to spread the light. We want to spread your son to the very edges of Tallahassee and beyond. Help our lives to be a light. Help our response to your grace be a light. Help our love for one another to be a light. I pray that we can love you, we can love one another, and make you known in this community. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have an awesome day.